Well, today we're going to look at a story from John chapter 6. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn there. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And if you're not familiar, John is in the New Testament. If you open your Bible to the middle and you start flipping to the back, you're going to hit books like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John is the very next one. John chapter 6, verse 1. This is where this story comes from. These are the words of Jesus. Let me lay a little foundation for you. Jesus has been, it's the time of Jesus' ministry, and Jesus has been performing some miracles. He's been performing some signs. He's healing people. He's doing all kinds of amazing things. And there's a crowd that has begun to gather around Jesus. And this isn't a crowd that at first it was kind of a crowd that came and then dissipated. But by this time, it's a crowd that doesn't stop being a crowd. Everywhere Jesus goes, there's a crowd of people. They can't get enough of Jesus. To the point that Jesus says, you know, John chapter 1 tells us that God came down in the form of a man. And he dwelt among us. And he is fully God and fully man. We don't know how that works, but we know that he experienced everything that men experience, except he never sinned. But you know, he experienced fatigue. He was weary because the crowd was around him all the time. You ever have that? Where you've just been around a crowd too much or around people too much? I've never been around where people just all the time, 24/7, are looking to me to fulfill need, fulfill need, fulfill need. I'm not a mom. That's not necessarily true for everybody, but at our house, like it's true. Now, Jesus, he's weary. And he's gone up to the mountainside to be with his disciples to get a little bit of rest. And the crowd follows him there. And this is where we pick up in John chapter 6. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. And a huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing on the sick. So Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. Therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so these people can eat?" He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Then Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." We're going to end right here. So they collected, verse 13, sorry, Braden. So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. Now, if you've been around church for a little while, you may have heard this story. But you know, this is a great passage of Scripture, period. It's also a great passage of Scripture to follow up on what Dwight Huffman shared with us last week when he talked about Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and he talked about 2 Kings 4. Verses 1 to 7, when he said that our instruction is that every day, our spiritual act of worship every day is that we get up and we say, "Jesus, all that I have, all that I am, everything is yours. Today, it's yours. And I want to worship you that way today." And we just keep bringing him vessels to fill and fill and fill and fill. All that we have and all that we are. Well, in this story, as Jesus has gone up to this mountainside and he's looked for some rest with his disciples and this crowd has come. Now, John skips some of the story that the other Gospels kind of fill in. So if you read this account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if you read this account, they fill in some of the gaps here. That Jesus has been talking and teaching all day. That the people came and found Jesus in the morning And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And he is so compelling. And that's how it was when Jesus was teaching. That's why this crowd gathered around him, is that this stuff that he's talking about, we can't get enough of it. And it's like people didn't notice, like, okay, we came after breakfast and we stayed through lunch, right? And then now it's supper time. And people are kind of like, you know, like stomachs are starting to rumble a little bit. The people are hungry. And they just lost track of time. And here in John, he says that he asked Philip, where would we buy bread so these people can eat? And he says that he asked it to test them, for he himself knew what he was going to do. So Jesus, he's not at a loss for what to do here. But this is really the only time in Scripture that we have Jesus recorded as asking for advice from somebody. He already knew what he was going to do, but he asked Philip. And Philip answered, Jesus, even if we have this money, where are we going to buy it? Like 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have even a little. Jesus, I don't know if you checked our coffers lately, our pockets lately, our money bags lately. We don't got it. And you couldn't just phone up and order a whole bunch of Chinese food anyway, right? Wasn't going to happen. They were on the mountain, in the wilderness. Jesus, remember, he knew what he was going to do. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And it's like Andrew got a little bit closer, right? So Philip's like, Jesus, there's no way. I know you're asking me, but I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. And he was honest, right? Which is the best response. He was honest. Andrew gets a little bit closer. He says, Jesus, there's a kid here who's got 2 fish and some loaves, but I don't know what I'm doing. Like, that's not going to work, right? So Andrew got closer. But this morning, I want to talk a little bit about this little boy. He said, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. We read our son Theron, one of 2 little kids' Bibles, every night. The Jesus Storybook Bible is one of those. And lately, that's the Bible that we've been reading him. And do you want to know why? He wants to hear one story and one story only for the last several weeks. And that is the story that the people don't have any food. It's this story. We've read it, and we've read it, and we've read it. It's on page 244 of the Jesus Storybook Bible, in case you ever wanted to look it up. Okay? I love this story, but we've read it. And you know, it's amazing the way this story puts it, because the way that they interpret this passage of Scripture and the way they tell this story and the picture, there's a really cool picture on every kind of page of story of this Bible, this children's Bible. It's Jesus looking down at this little boy, and he's holding this basket of fish and loaves, and he's winking at this kid. And the way they record the story, they say, Jesus said, watch this. Jesus knew what he was going to do. Here's what I'm talking about the little boy. The little boy, obviously he's been in the crowd. I don't know if he's been there all day or not. But his mom saw fit to pack him a lunch, right? His mom was the responsible one that said, all right, you're going to go. You might be gone for a while. I told you, don't come back until supper. Here's some lunch. Go. Be out of my house. And he went. And I don't know if he's been listening to what Jesus is saying, but he's getting it, right? He's saying, now, if these are Jesus' friends, and Jesus is talking about this stuff, then if Jesus needs it, I'm going to give it. It's only 2 fish and 5 loaves. This kid, I don't know how old this kid is, but I'm thinking this kid is not dumb. He knows there's 5,000 people. I don't think this child is going, Jesus, you can feed 5,000 people with this. Here you go. I think he's saying, I don't know what Jesus wants to do with it, but it's my 2 fish and 5 loaves, and so Jesus, here it is. He didn't know what Jesus was going to do with 2 fish and 5 loaves. But we know the rest of the story, right? What are they for so many? And then Jesus said, have the people sit down. This is where Jesus says, with a wink, watch this. First thing he does is he lifts this food to God and he thanks God. for the food. There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. After giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. South winds. Again, we've even talked about this story before. It's been a good while, but we've talked about this story before on Sunday morning. This is a pivotal story. This is one of the stories that Jesus is who he says he is. He really is the Son of God. And if we take the message that God gave us through Dwight last week about every day saying, "Jesus, all that I have and all that I am, it's yours." That when we get up, and we say, "Jesus, all I have is 2 fish and 5 loaves. That's all I got. In fact, Jesus, I don't have 2 fish and 5 loaves. I got a scale left over from somebody else's fish. That's what I feel like I've got today. But all that I have and all that I am, I'm going to give it to you." Here's the thing about being a follower of Jesus. Here's the thing about spending time with God on a regular basis and beginning to develop that sense of what is it? What does it mean for God to talk to me, for me to respond to what God is saying to me, for me to follow what I know to be true in His Word? That even when it doesn't make sense to us, even when we think it won't matter, because that's what one disciple let stop him from doing anything at all. That's what another disciple let stop him from. He kind of got halfway there, right? He said, "All right, Jesus, I got this, but no. Here, you eat that. You might as well be full." But this little boy said, "It's all that I have and all that I am. It's only 2 fish and 5 loaves, but if Jesus needs it, Jesus gets it. If Jesus wants it, Jesus gets it." Jesus could have taken a blade of grass. Jesus could have done it out of nothing. The Father could have done this out of thin air. He could have caused, like he did with the people when they were in the desert, he could have caused manna to come from heaven, right? God can do that. But Jesus wanted that 2 fish and 5 loaves. He wanted whatever anybody had. He didn't just make it enough. He made it more than enough. When we think that all we have are fish and loaves, God makes it more than enough for what He wants to do. We must realize that all we have are fish and loaves. Sometimes I feel like, you know what? I got enough. I can make this thing happen. We're covered here. Right? It's not like we come saying, "Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but it's 2 fish and 5 loaves, so do with it what you want." Sometimes I come to God like, "God, it's okay, I got this one. Like, you know, I can fulfill this part. I don't really need you to do this. I got this." I think not only can we come to Him like we have 2 fish and 5 loaves, I think we need to come to Him always like we have 2 fish and 5 loaves and there's 5,000 people to feed. I think that's the point of this story. That for us to have any sort of a lasting impact on the world around us, we got to give all that we have and all that we are to Jesus. And say, "It's only 2 fish and 5 loaves amongst 5,000. Even if I feel like I've got it, we must realize that that all we have are fish and loaves. Our role is to offer it. His role is to use it for His kingdom. Let me share with you a story. Now, I've shared this story years ago, but I'm going to share it again. Lee Strobel. He's a well-known Christian author now. But he wasn't a follower of Christ, and then God did something amazing in his life when he tried to once again study truth in order to disprove Christianity. And God did something. He put truth in this guy's heart, and God changed him from the inside out. And now he's a devout follower of Christ. He's a speaker. He's a writer. God is just using this guy. But Lee Strobel tells this story. About after he first became a follower of Christ, he went to work. He worked as a newspaper. He worked at a newspaper in Chicago. And his church was having a big Easter service, and that church was encouraging people to invite others and share the good news of Jesus with others. And so Lee had this guy in his office on his heart. And so one day, Lee just said, you know what? I think God's telling me it's time. I got to walk into his office right now and I got to share. And so he walked into this guy's office and he just, you know, kind of waited for the right opportunity. And then God opened up the opportunity and he shared. He shared the good news of Christ. He invited this guy to the Easter service. He told him where his church was. He told him what church it was, what time. And this guy, you would think that if I'm choosing to tell this story, that this guy just, man, he turned and he said, this is the best news I ever heard. I can't wait to go to church on Sunday. No, he got actually pretty mad at Lee. He's like, Lee, we've all heard your religious talk. You can keep it to yourself. Lee turned around and he said, God, I thought I did what you wanted me to do. What? I don't understand. What purpose did that serve? I feel like I'm humble. I want to do what you told me to do, but this guy just outright rejected it. What's the deal? Well, Lee went on. Years passed. Lee is now pastoring. He's writing. He's speaking. And one time after church service, somebody comes up and says, Mr. Strobel, can I talk to you? He says, sure. He said, I just want you to know that you probably don't remember this, but one time you walked into an office where you used to work and you shared the good news of Jesus with somebody. And you told them about an Easter service at your church, the church that you were going to. And, you know, I was actually laying tile in an area where I could hear what you were sharing with this guy. And my family was going through some crazy stuff. And I knew you weren't talking to me, but you were talking to me. He said, I went to that service on that Sunday. And since my family has become followers of Jesus, it has changed our life. We still had to go through hard times, but God has changed our life. We have the hope of Jesus now. And I just want to say thank you. And Lee goes, okay. Being a follower of Jesus means when I go up and I have an opportunity to share Jesus, even in my approach to sharing the good news of Jesus, I might feel like, God, I don't even have 2 fish and 5 loaves. I don't really know what I'm saying, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to do my best. Here it is. And we don't know who's tiling the floor, South Winds. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors with the people that we're sharing or the people that we're living next to. We may not know. But I know this, that what this little boy did was say, Jesus, I know there's 5,000 people that are hungry. I can't feed them with my 2 fish and 5 loaves, but if you want it, you got it. South Winds, your 2 fish and 5 loaves matter. It may look insignificant to us. It may feel like, what difference can it make? But I'm telling you, for somebody that was tiling a floor in an office building in Chicago, it made a difference. For his family, it made a difference. Southwind, I know we're talking about Global Impact Month, and it, you know, we talk about sharing Jesus a lot here. Because it's our commandment. It's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow Jesus and share Him with others. But, you know, it's not just about sharing Jesus. Like, that is a huge part of our life. It's also, we need to give God our 2 fish and 5 loaves when our children just won't listen. I'm at my wit's end. I can't get them to do what they're supposed to do. Jesus, 2 fish and 5 loaves. When my teenager just won't listen, when I cannot communicate, they won't give me 2 words. When they seem to be rebelling, and the harder I pray and the harder I try, the harder they go the other way. Jesus, 2 fish and 5 loaves. When my spouse and I just can't seem to get together on this thing, 2 fish and 5 loaves. When I'm working so hard at work and I'm doing my part and I'm trying to be humble and I'm serving you with all that I am, Lord Jesus, and yet everybody around me seems to be getting promoted. 2 fish and 5 loaves. All that I have and all that I am, I give it to you every day. And just like with Lee Strobel, happened to be a time when he shared Jesus. Dwight said, if we'll do that, then God will use us to change the course of somebody's life. Every week. I think this story says the same thing. That we'll give our 2 fish and 5 loaves and God will not make it enough. He'll make it more than enough to accomplish His purposes. Southlands, it doesn't matter if we feel like it'll make a difference. It doesn't matter if we can see if it doesn't make sense to us or not. Our role is to offer it. His role is to use it for His kingdom. Our worship team is going to come and lead us in this last song. And I'm just going to invite you to respond today. Maybe you need to just not sing. You just need to be still and be quiet and say, Jesus, 2 fish and 5 loaves. I don't understand, but I'm going to give it to you. I don't even know what this looks like to give it to you, but I'm going to try. You put your hands out and literally offer it to Him. And say, Jesus, whatever is on your heart, if it's your spouse, if it's a coworker, if it's something going on inside of you, Jesus, 2 fish and 5 loaves. I've seen what you can do, and I trust you. You may not choose to feed 5,000 with this, but you'll make it more than enough for what you want to do through me in this world.